It's the history of football we knows about, and we want to expand what we know. We'll become such intelligent gentry with every kick-to-kick show. Beginning in the time 1870s, right through to the modern day. Tune in for Timmy Coops and the Kazman to hear what they all have to say.
That's it. That's the special kick-to-kick. Special
there's a lot
kick
of people.
To kick podcast celebration episode. Hey, welcome. We are the Kick to Kick podcasters. My name's Tim. I got Coops over here, and I got Kazman over there. This is a bit different, guys, because we're not doing a usual show.
No, short and sharp, short probably. And sharp.
Hopefully. Well, especially if you tuned into our last episode.
Yeah,
this is the 1908 Jubilee special.
So as we said last time, we tried not to go too long last time, and we failed miserably at that anyway. Because there was the Jubilee not in the middle of the year, almost at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But we thought it wouldn't fit into the last one, so we thought we'd do something special and of its own. Mm-hmm. So happy 50th birthday,
well
football.
Done, football.
Congratulations. You find 1908 and you finally got there.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
50 years old. Still seems so sprightly.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's still moving so well.
Yeah. So, look, we're just going to get straight into this because there's no need for anything else. We've done it all.
Yeah, we've done it all, exactly.
If you haven't listened to our previous episode, listen to that to understand the history of the year 1908.
We know about.
So to celebrate the league's 50th anniversary, the Australasian Football Council decided to run a football carnival.
Yes.
Held in Melbourne with all states represented.
Well, six states at the time. There were no territories, yet? No.
Don't know.
No. And also New Zealand was invited for the only time ever.
Welcome, and I guess that's all Vic Cumberland's hard work over there.
Yeah.
Promoting the game.
Did a great job. What was the team that we talked about last time?
The West Bay Hawks?
That's right, yeah.
There was a team that requested a uniform. Mm. So what we might do is go through the teams very quickly and then get into the games.
Now,
that seems the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, and we should apologise in advance because it is the most confusing system that I've ever seen. So we're probably going to be jumping all over the place, but it is really interesting.
Bear with us.
Yeah, please.
So we'll go through in no particular order, I guess. Let's go for New South Wales first.
Yeah, so, well, I guess, if we talk about the Jubilee, like why it was done, obviously it's the 50th anniversary, but it's like a celebration not only of football, but of the fact that only 5 years, six, 7 years previous, we became a
Commonwealth.
And
the fact that it's an Australian game.
It's not a Victorian game. It's an Australian game, exactly. As we've had tweets to tell us about, as we might hear a little about soon as well.
Yeah. So New South Wales wore royal blue with a red waratah on the breast, white knickers and blue hose or socks. I guess royal blue. They were captained by a former St Kilda player in Ralph Robertson, and during the carnival they trained at St Kilda's ground, Junction Oval.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I have to say on New South Wales.
Yeah, that's it. Most of those players were from the New South Wales League.
Yep.
A couple of them from Wagga and from Sydney and stuff. Yeah, so, yeah.
But let's get to New Zealand, because that's the real interesting one.
Mm. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
What do you reckon they wore, Kaz? What colour?
I'm going to have to say some kind of black.
Correct. Black with a gold leaf fern.
So really, not much has changed.
No, pretty much the same.
Come on, guys.
Now, former Collingwood captain, Collingwood player in Tom Wright was the captain of New Zealand. He played 12 games for the Pies. And during the carnival, they were actually coached by one of our favourites.
The big man.
Dickie Condon.
Who else could it possibly be?
Can't go an episode without Dick Watch, can we? So they trained at Punt Road, Richmond Cricket Ground at that time.
Oh, and I wonder if only like a bit of fly on the wall in the New Zealand room.
Well, he probably didn't have time to cause dissension in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Maybe he's the reason they never played again.
No, maybe.
That was mad.
Queensland next.
Yeah, Queensland. Cool.
Do you want to have a guess, Kaz, what colour they might have worn?
Maroon. Okay, yes.
With a big Q monogram.
On the front. And then, white knickers, maroon hose, and white tops.
Yeah.
Wow. So, with white tops on the socks. Sorry, that makes more sense to me now. Yeah.
Captained by Ralph McKellar. With players from Faraway's Ipswich and Thursday Island.
Yeah. So
that's where Charlie Cameron's from, isn't it, Thursday Island?
I think so, yeah. I think that's right. So,
a few good players come from there.
Yep. And they were coached by none other than...
Jack Worrell. And they trained at the Carlton Cricket Ground as well. So
Princess Park.
So there's a bit going on there, isn't there?
Yeah, so it's good to see the clubs letting everyone use their ovals as well.
Yeah.
I wonder if the clubs took those weeks off. Probably would have back in those days.
Well, yeah.
No footy, don't have to train.
Yeah, exactly. 3 weeks, yeah. And it was all amateur. I can't imagine, they would have. Then next we had South Australia.
Yes.
What do we think South Australia was wearing?
Don't look at me.
Because you'd assume red. Red and blue and yellow.
Exactly.
But that is not right.
Turquoise.
With a brown band.
It's quite possibly the ugliest sort of combo of colours I've heard in a while. With a turquoise sock.
Yep.
Not bad. I like that.
They were captained by John Albert Albie Barr.
And you would imagine quite a strong team there, considering the sample was pretty strong and continues to beat the Premier of the VFL in the last couple of years as well.
Championship of Australia.
Yeah.
And they trained at the East Melbourne Cricket Ground.
So Essendon's.
Yeah,
ground.
Essendon
and
university.
Yes. Yeah, now uni. Yeah, of course. Yes.
Let's get to the Apple Island, then Tasman.
Tasmania.
Yeah.
Okay, so their captain was Bruce Carter. And their uniform, anybody? Any guesses?
Green, they usually
has
green.
To be green of some kind. Is it?
Green, rose, and primrose braces.
With a giant stripes. With a giant apple right in the middle.
Yeah.
No, I think it was a football.
Map of Tasmania, says here.
Map on the breast, and then a football in the centre of the map of Tassie, I think.
There's got to be a photo of this somewhere.
Yeah.
And their team was made up of players from the South Coast. So the South, the North. So 11 players from the South League, 8 from the North, 3 from the Northwest Coast, and 2 from the West Coast. They trained at Lakeside Oval.
Yep.
And one interesting thing about this was Albert Panham, brother of Charlie Panham.
I was just looking at him. Yeah.
Actually played for Tasmania. He was originally from Wynyard in Tassie, which is west of Devonport.
Okay, wow.
One for him.
So they're brothers?
Yeah.
Wow, amazing.
He was a boundary umpire, says, from 1914 to 1929.
Always chucking in your umpire slant. Unbelievable.
A long time to be a boundary umpire.
Yeah.
Well done.
Sorry.
Thanks for that.
I was going to say, do we want to skip Victoria and leave them last?
Yeah, let's do that. Because then we got WA, who were wearing, well...
Again, not what you would expect.
None of it's what you would expect, would you? So Western Australia wearing dark green with a gold swan on the breast.
Oh,
white knicks and green socks.
A bit like Denbrook.
That's South Australia's.
Oh my god!
With the cross right in the middle.
That's great website called
Footy Jumpers. So it's a
thanks, Footy Jumpers.
For those of you who can't see, which is everyone, it's a brown jersey with a turquoise cross, straight through the centre, and then turquoise hoops on the
it's
on
definitely
the socks.
Something from medieval England.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, exactly.
Monty Python.
Let's just have a look at.
Western Australia team was
Dark green jersey.
Yeah, with a gold swan right in the middle. And they were made up of the Metro District and also the Goldfields as well.
Yes.
Do we know who captained them?
The captain was... No, I'm not sure.
No.
No. And they trained at Fitzroy during the time. And then on to Victoria, last of all.
The big V.
Kaz, what do you reckon Victoria wore?
Not navy blue?
No, they were.
I'm off track, aren't I?
It was turquoise. It was classic dark blue with a big white V straight across.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. I was hoping it was white
socks, it says here.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no. White. Depending. White.
And what about
shorts
the pants?
And dark blue socks.
Knickerbockers.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So Knees showing.
Yep.
Ah,
and then also, when not playing, talking more about the uniform, they all the members of the teams wore plain straw hats, which had a distinctive band on either on the each. Awesome. Yeah, so something
like
similar.
A casual uniform.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
They could wander around with the common folk.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go for the Big V then, and their team. We'll go, like we're actually announcing a team, from the back line.
Yeah, from the back line too. Nice. Yeah. Joe Pearce from Melbourne, Robert Nash from Collingwood, and Fons Wood from South Melbourne. I'm assuming that's Alphonse.
Yes. Do you have the other team there, Kaz?
Yeah, but halfback.
Do you want to go halfback?
Hugh Pearce, Bill Brusbridge, Bill Luff from Essendon.
Okay.
Senna.
We've got Barclay Bales from Fitzroy.
Titch.
Yeah, Titch. Rod McGregor from Carlton, and okay. George Bruce, also of Carlton.
On the half-forward line, you had the Butcher, Paddy Shea, from Essendon. The Big Silo, Dave McNamara from St Kilda. And Harvey Kelly from Carlton.
Forward, Wally Johnson and...
From Fitzroy.
And none other than Dick Lee.
The two-time goal-kicking champ at this stage.
Thank you. Yes, on his way to glory. And Henry Tracker Young.
Who was also the captain.
Ah, fittingly. Well done.
So he's captain Geelong for 9 years and now Victoria. Yeah. Unbelievable.
He's just a stalwart.
That's right.
In the ruck, in the followers, we've got Herbert Milne of Fitzroy, Bertie Franks of South, and Alec Ogilvy of University.
Oh, fantastic. Having a uni player in there. That's great. No Richmond.
No, but look, this is probably just... This team here is probably one squad they use for one of the games. It's not to say they didn't have other players playing.
Yeah, absolutely. It did say that most of the other teams brought quite a lot along emergency list. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing me into
interesting that. Interesting to see that Tracker is not playing in the ruck, considering he is a tall ruck, but I guess he's coming toward the end of his career.
Yeah, he's getting on in his old age.
Well, we shouldn't focus too much on Victoria. I know we get a bit caught up in that.
Mm.
So... I guess now just going straight into it. So starting from the beginning of the carnival, the very first thing, surprisingly, was there wasn't sort of an... there was an opening ceremony.
But not first.
No. There was a game before the opening ceremony.
And quite a good game. So the opening ceremony was on Wednesday, the 19th of August.
So we talked about this in the actual episode, but it was after round 17.
Yes.
And but before round 18. So they'd already played the majority of the season of the VFL and then this. So, yeah, started in late or mid to late August.
So first game was New Zealand versus New South Wales.
Which was a fantastic game.
Yeah, and look, you would have tipped an Australian team to win an Australian game.
Absolutely. Mm.
But not to be.
So
possibly due to the excellent coaching of our friend Dick Condon.
Yeah, definitely.
New Zealand were triumphant by the barest of margins.
So New Zealand were 9-9-63 to New South Wales 8-14-62.
So very inaccurate kicking.
Yeah.
So they really should have won that game.
Should have had them, but didn't. And so that's a great way to start, you know, the competition thinking, you know, well, everyone's got a shot here. It can happen.
You couldn't have planned it any better.
No. Really open up.
Then let's have an opening ceremony.
Which is so weird.
3 o'clock after the game, in the interval. So it was a crowd of... have you seen the crowd, Charlie?
It was...
Oh, please.
I've got here 7,000 plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were in an excited mood.
I mean, as if they wouldn't be.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And you've got to remember, it's a Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was an official opening ceremony. Each of the teams... in their team uniforms lined up and formed a hollow square.
Mm-hmm.
And then the official party, the governor of Victoria, Sir Thomas Bent.
Sir Thomas Gibson Carmichael. Maybe he changed his name.
Okay. So I've got Sir Thomas Brent, Premier of Victoria at the time.
Governor
of Victoria and then the Premier of Victoria.
Yeah, so Thomas Gibson Carmichael is the governor.
Yep.
Thomas Brent is the Premier. There you go.
I have a feeling that Bentley, the suburb of Bentley, is named after.
Named after him.
I have a feeling. I might be wrong. We've got Henry Harrison, who is Australian rules pioneer.
Yeah. And, so he started the game with
Thomas Wilson
and everyone. Yeah. And they were cousins, weren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. He's 71 years old at this stage.
Unbelievable.
We've got Mr. Cornelius Michael Conhickey.
Big Con.
Who's a member of the Fitzroy Football Club and founding member and first treasurer of the VFL. And the inaugural president of the Australian National Football Council, Mr. E.L. Ernie Wilson.
And he was also the first secretary of Collingwood.
Yeah. And then we've also got Mr. Albert E. Nash, president of the New South Wales Australian Football League, who was there. And each were introduced to the captains of the team and shook hands.
So we should say, sorry, as we said, we're going to be jumping all over the place. Going back to that first game, it was, I mean, 1 point always going to be exciting, but especially exciting considering that New Zealand were down by 26 at halftime as well.
Really?
And came back to win.
A rousing speech by Dickie Condon.
Yeah. Get it in ya! That's what I'm picturing.
Ceremony
your girl's a whore.
Ceremony was notable for the performance of... Here we go. Sorry. War cries.
Yeah.
By both New Zealand and Queensland.
So, yeah, and it said said that actually the Queensland one was the better of the two, which is interesting. But it did say it's not clear...
If it was the haka.
If it was a haka, yeah. So,
But they would be pumped up after winning that game as well, New Zealand.
Yeah, exactly. But it, something did say that it was a Maori war cry. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, who knows? Mm. And it was... So the... Queenslanders did an indigenous, like an Aboriginal battle cry.
What that was.
Yeah, be really cool.
And then we were followed by a second match.
Yeah, so exciting. Ready to go. What an amazing game. New Zealand and New South Wales, you know, who knows what's going to happen. Tassie and Queensland, both from Australia. Surely it's going to be a better game.
Surely, Kaz.
That's right, surely. And
it's not.
Certainly not. Tasmania, 22 goals. 22 points, which is 154.
Yeah.
Queensland, surely it must have been. It's a high scoring game, something like that, or wind or something like that. No, Queensland, 2 goals and 2 points, 14.
I would love to hear Richie Beno announce that game.
That's as bad as the Lions score on last weekend.
Yeah.
We should also say the teams are split up into A
into
and B
two
division.
Sections, yeah. So those both of those were Section B games.
Yeah.
So
Section A was Victoria, South Australia, Western Australia.
Yes. So more the traditional footballing states.
Yeah.
Although Tasmania, you would think should be in there. You would argue should be in there also.
Yeah.
So they do say that Section A was obviously the stronger. And then the weaker Section B was, Tassie, New South Wales, New Zealand and Queensland.
Excellent. Oh, day two, Victoria played the undefeated New Zealand.
So there was a mix of A and B. So this system... makes no sense in any way possible.
Is it something to do with because New Zealand won?
It's got
because every team from Section A plays a team from Section B at some point.
It doesn't. It depends who it was. No one plays the same amount of games.
No,
it is. It
can't work it out.
I've tried to read through what it means, and it just it makes no sense.
Please tweet us in if you know what it is.
So there was a full round robin among the Section B teams, not a full round robin in Section A because it was two matches. It was South Australia versus Western Australia and then Victoria versus the loser of that game. And then everyone played someone from the other section. And then I think they just threw it all up in the air and said, okay, the finals are between these people.
What game would we like to see?
All right, so Victoria defeated New Zealand 25-21, 171 to New Zealand, 5 goals, 10-40.
Yeah, so that was the Friday, the 2 days later. Yeah. Not a surprising scoreline. There was something that I read saying afterwards as a sort of recap of the whole thing that Victoria really didn't have to get out of second gear the entire competition.
No, you wouldn't have.
No.
Especially against New Zealand.
No, exactly.
Looking forward to the Victoria South Australia.
And then we moved on to day three, which was one Section B and one Section A game. So the Section B game was Tassie, New South Wales. Slightly more interesting, though not by much.
Mm. Tasmania winning 8-14-62 to New South Wales 4-11-35.
And then in the Section A game, Western Australia won 8-11-59 to South Australia's 8-5-53.
So a close game, finally.
Yeah, and so that leads into Victoria then playing South Australia in the next Section A game.
Okay.
Mm.
Then day four, we had Section B.
Yeah, interesting to note, they didn't play a game on Sunday either. They played the next game on the Monday.
Because I think
holiday?
Yeah, I think that's still...
Traditionally
yeah. and going on until... Rhett was saying the other day, the I think until somewhere in the 70s, yeah.
Yeah. So we've got New Zealand against Queensland.
That's winning.
Right. Winning.
6-12-48, Queensland for 11-35. So are we saying that New Zealand is more VFL football orientated at this point in time?
Yeah. Than Queensland and New South Wales.
Yeah, pretty
so
much.
So they do it, yeah. I think...
But not anymore.
Lot of the commentary at the time and looking now... New Zealand were the surprise packet of the Jubilee.
Yeah.
They performed really well,
yeah.
Considering that there's no real history of it. And yeah, they were fantastic.
No. So moving on to the Thursday, day five, action saw a cross-sectional game between Western Australia and New South Wales.
On the Tuesday, so the next day.
Yep.
And not a great game.
No, Western Australia winning 17-12-114 to New South Wales 12-3-75.
I'm really hoping New South Wales is getting a win at this point.
You feel sorry for them?
Yeah, I do.
Moving on to day six, then we got, as we said before, Victoria playing the loser of the other Section A game, which was South Australia, and Victoria winning comfortably 10-15-75 to South Australia's 2-14-26.
You'd be buoyed by that, though. Absolutely smashing the South Australians.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, it's interesting... to think that, you know, that's not more competitive.
Yeah.
Really, because, of as we said before, the Sandful seems like a really strong competition at this stage, and still is, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and they went back and they last played on day three, so it's not like they're, you know, resting around robbing too much.
And
so
then
Section B, they had Tasmania defeating New Zealand 11-18-84 to New Zealand 1-12-18. So New Zealand obviously running out of puff for that last game. But yeah, New Zealand have played four games now, but then other teams like New South Wales have only played three.
I know, it's ridiculous.
And they've had to play the Section A teams, but it doesn't look like a Tasmanian team.
It has.
Oh, at the end of the they do.
Yeah.
But Tassie hadn't played at this stage a team from Division A.
No, yeah, but during the actual comp, like not until the finals, do they? So, and yeah, it makes no sense. It's ridiculous. So, sort it out. Let's go back and figure this out.
So day seven was the final day of the round robin proper.
Yes.
Which saw New South Wales finally get a win, Kaz.
Oh,
hey.
Guys, finally.
13-15-93 defeated Queensland 8-11-59.
And so this is one of the first times that it was sort of called Australian rules football, isn't that right?
Yeah, it was.
So before that had been known as Victorian rules.
Well, but even before that, there was Melbourne rules and Geelong rules.
Yeah, and then that was amalgamated for the VFA, wasn't it?
Yes,
and then
it was.
Obviously the VFL. But it's nice, I think, for it all to be coming together to incorporate those other states that aren't traditional football states, because as we were saying before we started recording, I can imagine New South Wales wouldn't want to play Victorian rules.
No, and that was one of the reasons football was not successful and is not successful in northern states, because it was called Victorian rules.
Yeah.
And there was always that rivalry between Victoria and New South Wales.
Yeah, exactly. So if we go forward to the preliminary round ladders, in Section A we have Victoria sitting on the top, who've played two and won two. Western Australia have played two and won two, and South Australia have played two and lost two. But Victoria on top with a much better percentage.
And then
there.
Are Tassie on top of the Division B?
Tassie are on top of the Division B, having played three and won three.
Yep.
So no one played the same amount of games. New Zealand are second, having played four and won two and lost two.
Yeah.
New South Wales have played four, won one and lost three. And Queensland have played three and lost three.
Okay, there you go.
So the only big losers of the comp of Queensland.
So the finals we've got, it's got South Australia versus Tasmania. Was that the best of Division B versus the worst of Division A? Was that done deliberately?
Hang on. Let's go back up to the top and figure this out. Okay, the finals were played. Third place team from Section A played the first place team from Section B for third and fourth. Yeah,
gotcha.
Because that was the stronger competition. Well, the stronger league.
It's almost promotion relegation, isn't
it?
Yeah. It's got a bit of a story to it there.
So in that game, we should say South Australia did defeat Tasmania 16-20, 116 to Tassie 7-7, 49.
Yeah, so
Just a little reminder. Sort of, not quite there
it's
yet,
basically
guys.
Turned out exactly the way that everyone thought it was going yeah. to.
It's not like they tried to avoid that, though, either.
No.
Apart from New Zealand.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And then in the proper final, I guess you would call it, which is the first from Section A playing the second from Section A, who did not play during the preliminary games.
And were both undefeated.
Was Victoria Western Australia, which Victoria won very convincingly, 13-22-100 to 6-8-44.
There you go. So because Tassie was beaten by South Australia, Victoria was the only remaining undefeated team. Therefore, it was crowned the champions without the need of a grand final.
So, yeah, so I'm assuming that means that if Tasmania had won, they would have played a grand final against the other one. Yeah.
Nice. All as it should be.
Yeah, so going through it, the best players from each team, yes. There were a few of the best for each team. Victoria, the best were Paddy Shea, Busbridge, who was the best in the league the year as well.
Champion of the colony.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Back to back, I think.
Pierce, Luff, McGregor, Barclay Bales and Dave McNamara. So
you'd
not
that,
surprised by many of those names, really.
No Tracker Young
there. The WA players who were the best were Gravenal, Dunn, Mattson, Metherill, Orr and Truscott. South Australia, Treadray.
Oh, hey.
There you go. Tierney, I wonder whether there's a connection there.
Probably not.
Jack Treadray. Let's have a look.
Yeah, look it up while I'm going through. Le Mesurier, Gwynn, Chamberlain and Townsend. For Tassie, it was Carter, Lee, Marnie, Bridges, Webb, Littler and Arnold.
No Panham,
no. New Zealand was Darby, Elvidge, Wilkins, Wright and George. In New South Wales was Collie, Robertson, Rahilly, Gluyas and Maxfield. And Queensland was Coates, Watts, Kelly, Padgett and Hicks. Now, there were a couple of players who could have, they reckon, could have walked into the VFL in any team. So they were from other states. So there were a few real standouts. Mm. And one of them was New Zealand's captain, Tom Wright, apparently.
Okay.
Who
had played 12 games for Collingwood.
Yes. Mm. Oh, yeah. Well, and so he could walk back if he wanted to.
And also, some of the Victorian players had also played in other leagues. And that thing that comes up that always does with State of Origin is how do you decide what state you play for?
That's right, yeah. So, because they'd played their first...
Is it where you can't say
professional anymore, but yeah.
Because I remember Jason Dunstall played for Queensland and Victoria.
Yeah.
There's quite a few players like that who should have played for other states, but Victoria said, oh, no, they're ours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's sort of, yeah, I guess it's hard to pick, isn't it? And in those days, it's kind of like, well, wherever you put your allegiance, really.
Yeah. Mm. And they want a sort of a fair competition as well.
Yes.
Look at why.
Now, the only other thing that really happened was there was a big toast and a big celebration night. I think it was a big night where Alfred Deakin, Prime Minister, came and spoke. Now, he'd been a footballer himself in his younger days. I think he played at Northcote.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. I'm not 100% sure.
He played football somewhere. Anyway, we have a bit of the audio as well of his speech that he gave.
Amazing. We found it. We pulled it out.
Yeah, we pulled it out. So if we play that now.
My days of football are past so many years that, although the memories are not clouded, I have perfect recollection that the games I played at was conducted under rules rather than those which you now enjoy. And I have yet to find the game that carries as much pleasure, as much harmless excitement, and as much stimulus as the Australasian game of football. The true sportsman pitting himself at his best against an opponent under the rules of fair play. In this country, we are bound to remain a sporting people. After all, a healthy mind rests upon a healthy body. The game is Australian in its origin, Australian in its principle, and I venture to say, essentially of Australian development. The fellow who can play an uphill game and lose it with courage and good temper is better fitted for the contest the world has in store for him. When the Toscan sounds the call to arms, it will be those who have played and played well the Australasian game of football before they play the Australian game of nation-making, and nation preserving.
Fantastic. God, he speaks well.
Oh, very well.
No wonder he was our Prime Minister twice.
Yeah, three times, I think.
Yeah.
Twice at this stage, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And a good reception from the crowd,
quite
too.
Prophetic as well in the way he talks about, you know, if you can be a good footballer, you can, you know, you can help build the nation, and with war on the horizon.
Yeah.
That rings quite true.
Yeah, absolutely. It was an interesting thing, and something that I guess would be great if it was still around.
Yeah, we'd all love it.
Yeah, it'd be phenomenal to see, even if it was, you know, not, even if it was not like the AFL as it is now and State of Origin like it was, but just VFL, Waffle, Sandful, the Tassie Leagues and stuff all coming together like that. That'd be amazing.
The VFL do play the Waffle and the Sandful.
Do they?
Yeah.
Like best of?
Yeah.
Got to get around that.
Years, but because it's not the like the top,
because you don't hear
the
about
AFL,
it.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Oh,
so,
I actually didn't know that.
Yes, a nice short one from us. That's really.
That's all we
got. We just sort of wanted to let you know, guys know what it was and what happened. Sorry, there was not a lot of detail.
No.
I mean, I guess the best part of, well, the thing that I love the most about our usual podcast is the anecdotes and things that we hear.
Not much
about
that,
during it, but they just couldn't find all that much information
apart
about
from
it.
New Zealand. Winning, that was kind
of that was kind of the most amazing thing.
All right.
I was just looking at some of these little quotes here from the article. We've done a great job there, I reckon.
The only thing,
probably don't need
surely Ivo Crap would have been invited to umpire
or play. Just get him involved. Should have been an umpire's team.
Yeah,
would have been great.
Does it have any information about who the umpires were?
I didn't try anything.
No.
Oh, well.
So,
Jack Elder would have been around.
Sure. Thanks, I guess, for joining us for this short and sweet one, and apologies for how all over the place we were, but...
That's kind of how it was.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how the actual Jubilee went.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks very much.
See you next time. Hooroo!
You can contact Kick to Kick on email at kicktokickpodcast@gmail.com or add us on Instagram, which is @kicktokick_podcast. Or find us on Twitter, which is @kicktokickpod. And thanks for listening.